Good morning. This podcast is brought to you by HTS. HTS is your local technology expert serving Delaware for 16 years. HTS specializes in TV installations, home automations, Sonos audio systems, security cameras, and Wi-Fi networks. For all of your home and business tech needs, give them a call 1-800-690-2029 or visit htsav.net. That's Home Theater Solutions, in case you were wondering what HTS stands for. Oh, 3, 2, 1. Good morning.
Good morning.
Amanda Johnson, what's going on?
Oh, you know, living my life.
Yeah, pull that a little bit closer.
A little closer.
Yeah, so we can hear all about your life.
Oh, God.
Well, so good exciting. Morning. Good morning on this wonderful, beautiful fall Monday morning.
Good morning.
It's great to have you back.
I know. I'm glad to be back.
This is your third time.
I know.
Well, you've been on the social podcast before, but we did TNT once with the mushroom coffee.
We did with the mushroom coffee, and now I'm back for my third time.
Well, and just to clear it up, I invited you. You're not like beating down the door trying to come on the podcast. I'm like, Amanda, will you come back and chat?
Oh, I'm so glad. Yeah. I feel honored. I got invited three times. I feel special.
Well, listen, you're a nice person. What do you want?
Oh, thanks.
If I find nice people, I like to talk to them.
Hey, that's cool.
Well, I thought it'd be fun. So we met. I found you. You found me. Because, you're on Instagram.
Yeah.
And we were seeing a lot of it prior to COVID.
Yes.
A lot more now, but a lot of people just kind of doing their thing through social media, whether it's an Instagram or Facebook, you know, doing some exercising, doing some poses, you know, just kind of being individuals, right? And we're seeing a lot of it now.
Yeah.
But you were doing it before.
Was.
And, you know, I would say that's where you find the go-getters is on Instagram or at the Home Depot or the Home Expo out in Hudson Fields. I was out there and
True.
I'm like, this is where all the hustlers are out in the fields.
Yeah, it is.
But one of the fun things that, and you came on and we talked about, you know, food and stuff. And then we talked about the mushroom coffee. But I always loved your Instagram title, which was Sweats for Pizza.
I know.
And you changed it.
I know. Well,
I'm so sad.
I know. Well, people get a little butthurt about names.
Did you say butthurt?
Yes, I said butthurt about names on Instagram, and people will fight you about it. And also, you know, obviously we're in the middle of a pandemic and things in my own life shifted.
Yeah.
Fun. And I really had a struggle with finding balance at the beginning of it. And then I did end up changing my name because I felt like it was just sort of more fitting for what I was dealing with and going through. And it's, you know, it's a little...
Is that the new name, Finding Balance?
It's the Balanced Brunette.
Balanced Brunette.
Yeah.
That's a good name too, though.
Yeah, thanks. I feel like it's a little catchy. You know, it works.
It's catchy.
It works.
And I wanted to,
they
you
both
know.
Were. I kind of missed the pizza. But also, I didn't want to give the impression, too, that, like, I was strictly working out to eat like crap because that's kind of what was happening. People were thinking that that's what it was, and it wasn't. Like, I enjoy eating pizza and everything else, burgers, tacos, all the good stuff. But, you know, really it's about finding balance because I didn't have any before.
I actually like that, finding balance. And I actually felt like that is a real honest name, you know, the only reason that I run is so that I can eat pizza.
Well, I think that's a lot of people's thing. It's like a reward system, right? Like food is a reward.
Well, it's reality.
And it is. It's very real. But I also now feel more comfortable sharing all of it as opposed to just sharing the food stuff. Like I share all of it. It's all trying to figure it out and deal with like reality.
Well, one of the challenges for me, and I'm 52. How old are you?
38.
38. So... Mm-hmm. One of the things for me that I've learned in life is that I'm always wanting something that's usually not achievable. And if it is, I'm not sure I can maintain it.
Mm-hmm.
So there is the word balance. And also me being honest about what I want and what I can actually get.
Mm-hmm.
And what can I keep.
Yeah.
And there's a, because I've talked, you know, I've been redefining happiness for a few months now. You know, and it's about that redefining because I somehow created all these kind of goals that if I achieved that goal, I'd be an odd person. I wouldn't be the person that I am today. It would require so much and it's hard to maintain.
It is.
I mean, if you're going to be in an event, you know, you pick your you pick your start date and you max at it right before the event, and then you become awesome on the event, and then when the event is over, you go back to kind of living. But I was trying to live this event-ready lifestyle my whole life.
Yeah.
And it's just not achievable. So then you find I find myself falling short and then being bummed out and then I'm not good enough and blah, blah, blah. At 52, I'm realizing that I'm never going to be that guy, right?
Well, yeah.
And I need to kind of come to grips with that and then find a place that's a balance between exercise and having some pizza sometimes and realizing that I'm just not a six-pack guy.
Well, even that, like, I think, what are these crazy goals that we all have? Because I did it too. Like, when I started coaching, I had this idea of what in my head of what I wanted to look like. And I think most people do when they work out. They get fit with a purpose. And it's usually, like you said, to either go to an event or to be involved in something like, you know, a 5K or 10K or some, you know, Ironman. I mean, I've seen all sorts of things over the years and done all sorts of things over the years. And now, and I think too, as I'm approaching 40, I'm just realizing like, life is so short and I don't want to have these unattainable standards for myself and these crazy goals, because who am I proving that to? It's not helping me. It makes me feel totally defeated and deflated if I don't reach it. And then you go down a shame spiral of beating yourself up and there's just no point. It's like trying to attain perfection and that's just not a real thing. So,
well, and life a little, and I just did a podcast before this about this kind of this subject is that, you know, I was driving down the road the other day and an Adele song came on, you know, Burning, in one of her hits. You know, and I'm like, God, you know, Adele needs a new album because I've heard this song. But what I realized is that there's probably 5 hits on her album and there's probably 7 songs that I've never heard because they don't reach the radio. And it's, you know, here's your period, Adele. And after it's over, we move on to the next artist. We'll give you a few hits. But the fact is that I'm like, she needs a new album and I need to actually really go check out the other 7 songs that I never listened to. And when I did, I'm like, ooh, this is a good song. I've got 7 new songs now from Adele that I've never heard. And that's kind of another example. 20 years ago, I wasn't listening to Adele. I was very stuck in my ways.
Yeah.
But at 52, I'm like, listen, Adele's great. Yeah. I love Adele. And kind of the point of it was, is that, am I using all of the things in my life that I've been given? Am I taking advantage of, like, I've never been a guy that comes up and would say, hey, how are you? My name's Tom, and just shake your hand. I'd be like, no way. Hell no. But all of a sudden at 52, I'm like, hey, my name is Tom. How are you? And shake a person's hand.
I find that hard to believe because you're so friendly.
I'm trying to find it as an example. But you know what I'm saying. It's like, it's like, you have kids, you say, here, have some corn. I don't like corn. You're like, well, it's delicious and amazing. I don't like it. I'm like, fine. That's kind of life, right? Yeah. And then as you get older, you're like, God, this corn's really good. At 52, I don't want to get myself in these little ruts where I'm not really utilizing all the things that a human, not just me, but any human, has to offer. And that's kind of what my point was, is that I want to stop trying to be this amazing guy and find a place where I can be sort of healthy and still enjoy stuff and, you know, find a balance.
Well, yeah, because I mean, I think last time I was here, you were doing really like a strict diet.
Yeah, insane.
But there's nothing wrong. I don't think there's anything wrong with that because you were exploring options, right? But to me, that's just not long term. It's not sustainable long term. It's not going to be something that you can keep up with. And I think for me too, like I did it. I tried and tried so hard to be so restrictive with myself. And it just makes me miserable. I'm not a happy person when I'm restricting myself like that.
Well, I've watched you through your social sites, you know, and you share a lot of pictures, and you are about a healthy lifestyle, eating right, exercise, and you post pictures of, you know, the past when you were a little heavier.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're working out and you're showing that you're getting better and it looks good. You know, at some point, do you think you look good? Because I will tell you, just as a person watching you on Instagram, you look terrific.
Oh, well, thank you.
I mean, are you good? Or
very
do you,
happy where I'm at.
Is there some insane side of you going, I could just be a little better?
Well, this is the thing. I didn't know this about myself, but I'm competitive with me. Like, I didn't understand what that was or why I do it, but I like to push myself. And I like to be challenged. And if I don't feel like I'm getting challenged, then I'm looking for the next thing. It's why I get bored with workouts so fast, because I'm like, okay, well, this isn't challenging me enough. So what can I do next? And I just had to stop and say, that's enough. Like I work out now just because it really does like make me happy. It sets the tone for my day. I feel better just mentally when I do it. And really that's what it's, I'm at a place now, I'm 38. Like I am never going to look like what I have in my mind.
Right.
And I just don't care. Like it really is about being healthy at this point.
And you call them workouts. I call them suffer outs, because to me it's a suffer, because it's, you know, it should be a suffer, right? It should kind of suck. There should be sweat.
Oh, yeah. It's going to make you really uncomfortable. And it does suck a little bit. I mean, there has to be some of that, because otherwise you're not pushing yourself.
Well, and I think it breaks down self a bit. Mm-hmm. You know, I think self will build a little campsite in our head.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got to kind of come through and kick down the tent and kick down the fire and kick over the igloo and say, bro, not today.
I agree.
That's kind of what working out does. It's kicking out that tent and kicking over the fire. And after that happens, you're like, man, I feel like I can really do anything today.
Well, yeah, I think it makes you feel strong. I think it gives you a sense of, you know, power and control. But I also think that can get a little dangerous too, because when I did this initially, there was a lot of control there. Like I felt like my life was really chaotic, especially before I started doing the workouts and the thing that I'm doing now with the coaching. I just felt really lost. And I feel like now, I've gotten past the point of needing the control. I don't need the control anymore. It's not something that I can sustain.
You're surrendering it?
Yeah, I'm just done. I just don't care. Like I love what I'm doing. I love helping people. That's really what brings me joy. And I discovered that over the last year and a half. Like I truly love people, and I like seeing women and men, because there are some men that, you know, have joined me. They don't share their stuff on social media, but they do it. And just seeing them evolve and change and shift their mindset to like something more positive and feel better about themselves, like that brings me a lot of joy. Yeah. The trying to control my body and what that looks like and how, you know, how much I'm pushing myself and these transformations, like it's great. And I show it because I am ultimately selling programs that do work. So there's a part of that. Like I have to show that happens and that it works. But there's this other part of it that I have to show a real body. I'm never going to have a six pack. I'm never going to have like, you know, these perfect muscles and this perfect muscle. And I don't care.
Well, and I think that's what I'm talking about. That's important, because that's real.
It
is. You know, we're not perfect.
No.
I mean, and we are living now in this freaking perfect world, right? I mean, my kids are dealing with, my son Sam, and they're dealing with a world that comes to them through social media that is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not liked, you know, my son will say, oh, this person, well, they only get about 2 million likes. That's not really that much. Like, first of all, who cares? Second of all, 2 million's a lot.
Yeah, that's.
But third of all, who cares?
I mean, it doesn't matter.
But that's what's becoming, you know, and these, you know, the kids now are, you know, in perfect shape, doing perfect dances, wearing perfect clothes, mm-hmm. and perfect light. It's like, ugh, and it's just not real. And I like what you do, because, listen, you look great, but you're right, you're not like, you know, doing this amazing six pack and all this stuff. You're like, look, I lost another inch. I'm working out. I'm working hard here.
Yeah.
I think that's great. I think it's a great message.
Well, I think too, having a child and then on top of that, having a daughter, watching everything I'm doing, just the idea of her growing up with this concept of perfection that is out there now, and watching cousins of mine, you know, I have a nephew that's growing up too. He's the same age as my daughter. And I just think this world that they're living in is very scary to me, because we didn't have that when I was growing up. There was no social media. There was no validation through likes. There was no validation through putting up a filtered picture and presenting something that just isn't reality. And that is what these kids are seeing. And it scares me. So, you know, I talk to her, she's 5, but I'm very like to a point, very blunt with her about things. And she'll come home and say something or see something on TV and say, oh, well, she's pretty. And she said something the other day about somebody's body. And I said, Sadie, that's a normal body, and everybody's body looks different, and everybody's body is theirs, and they're all beautiful. And like, I think that's important to teach children. They're not all filtered and perfect, and everybody looks like a million bucks and has the best clothes and the best hair. Like, that's just not reality.
Right.
So
Well, you know. The other part that's the real bad part about it is there's a lot of adults looking at this stuff that, I mean, I always say I'm still just that 16-year-old kid running around in a 52-year-old body. I'm still that, you know, I'm still just, you know, this, my car's getting older. And it's but the there's truth. You're still like, you know, you still want to be part of, or not you, but I yeah. still want to be part of. I still want to be recognized. Yeah. I still want to feel like I have something to offer. And when you, as an adult, I look at this stuff and I'm like, ugh, I'm never going to be one of the popular kids.
That's all I think. You know what? I think we're all stuck there.
We're all stuck there.
I have a lot of that too, but I also think, I don't know. I've just gotten to a point where I don't like the BS. I don't like the drama of it. And I'm so far over it. I can't stand it. Like, I get so angry and frustrated when I hear a mom, this has been bothering me for the last year, and especially the last 6 months, women, because the women are the ones that talk about this. Men don't say it as much. I wish they would, because I think it's real for them too, on a different level and in a different way. But women coming to me and saying, I cannot keep it together. And so that's why I started sharing like the mess a little bit more and sharing more of like my reality, which is I'm a disaster on a good day. Like I'm right. never, I don't have it together. And I hear women feeling so bad about themselves because they're not in shape. Their kids aren't perfect. Their life isn't perfect. Their house is a mess. Who cares? Like that's reality. No one's house is perfect. I am so tired of seeing these beautiful pictures on Instagram where someone's house is, I mean, stunning. Like, and I'm like, how do you have time to keep up with that? You know, it's just, I don't know. It's very frustrating and upsetting. And I don't want to think of anybody feeling that bad about themselves looking at that, you know?
Yeah, I agree. And because, you know, the worst part is we know better.
Well, we do know better.
We'll teach our kids, but then we'll find ourselves going, ooh. I'm not.
and it's also, there's like a lot
foot of foot on both sides.
It is. And there's a lot of resentment about it too. Like women feeling like, well, I don't have it together and she does and, or he does, and hating those people. And I just, it's not reality. It's very easy to make your bed and take a pretty picture. And I do put up pretty pictures. My feed is a storefront essentially for what I'm putting out there, which are these programs and whatever. But the flip side of that is, I share the mess and the chaos of my day, and that I'm not always positive. I'm not always happy to be working out. Some days I want to stay in bed and, you know, eat Doritos. Like that's the reality, you know, right. But I don't think it's fair to just present one thing. And I think it's really a crummy thing that we all look at that and think that's life. 'Cause it's not.
Well, and I think every day presents something different. You know, I wish it'd be nice to look at, you know, it's Monday. I look at my whole week, but I can't. It's really, you know, one day at a time. That's a classic saying. But even it can be like a minute at a time. You know, it can be, I have to remind myself, listen, this can get better. Or, hey, this could get worse. And, you know, because look, if something good happens to me this morning, I'll base my whole week on it. And if it falls short, then I'm like,
I know.
So you got to really keep, I have to really keep my finger on the pulse of what's going on with me. And an honest look at it. You know, I was reading something this morning, and I was trying to see if this would kind of, you know, I do a podcast on sobriety, but this I thought, it says, the principles that we shall find no enduring strength until we first admit complete defeat is the main taproot from which our whole society has sprung and flowered. Which says to me, like, unless I admit that I'm not, or I can't be as great as I wish I could be, you know, as great as these pictures, until I finally admit that, I don't start to grow. I just suffer. I'm just not good enough. And that was kind of what my point was when I started the podcast this morning, was like, you know, I have to find a place where I'm okay with a little of this and a little of that,
mm-hmm.
and have to realize that I'm just maybe never going to be quite what I hope, like on a social, like a social media page, but what I am and the work that I'm doing is pretty good. And it's maybe just as good as I'm going to be.
I think what you're doing is amazing. And I think that if more people did other things than sit on social media and scroll it, I mean, I don't know. I've been doing a lot of self-reflection. And one of the things that I've been doing for the last 5 years is daily gratitude. And I've been really digging into that. And I started doing daily devotions. And I'm not like super religious, but I do this because I feel like it puts me in a really good headspace and sort of puts things in perspective. And I just find that when I'm more focused on being really present in my life and the things that I am bringing to the table and the good stuff I'm doing, the rest of it sort of falls away. It's right. not as much my focus. And it is hard, because it is really hard to do that, because we all get down on ourselves and we all think we should be here. But the reality is, sometimes you're only going to be here, and that's okay. But in 5 years, you might be well over here. And, you know, I think, too, all of us want to jump. You know, we want things to happen really quickly, and we're all about instant gratification, and that's not really a thing either, you know?
Is there something that you wish as the person that you are that you did better? And I don't mean, like, having to go back to school or get an education or something, but just something where I just wish I wish, you know, like... Yeah. So is there anything that you wish as a person that you just did better?
Lots of things. I wish you
pick
one.
I'm sorry there's so many. Let's find just one.
We'll find one. Honestly, one of my biggest things, I wish that I was way more organized than I am, because I feel like I drive other people crazy, especially my poor husband, but because I'm so all over the place. Like, I cannot get it together, I feel like, a lot of days. And I don't mean have your act together and be perfect. I mean, I am really just a disorganized human being. And the other thing that I really wish is that I made more time for things that were important and stopped saying yes to things I don't want to do. Because I'm a yes girl, and I do that a lot. And I don't always want to do the things I say
yes to.
So
do you think you're a yes girl because you're a people pleaser?
Oh, I know I am. Big people pleaser. That was
so
a big
revelation.
So it's
not that you're a yes girl, you're a people pleaser.
Well, yeah. I've been really trying to work on it. I have to really be very conscious of that.
Let's grind this down a second.
Oh, we can go for it.
So a people pleaser, because I'm the same way.
Yeah.
So what it turns out is that I just want people to like me.
Mm-hmm.
Because in farther down, it's like, I'm not good enough. Nobody likes me.
Oh,
I'll
yeah.
never fit in. So I think that's where that kind of starts early on
I
in our life.
I think so.
But do you think that there's things that you can take from your life today and look at it and say, I am okay. People do like me. Like, do you have
yeah.
to just be better organized, or do you have to look back into like the roots into the ground and figure out what the beginnings of this are about?
I've been doing a lot of digging.
Yeah?
Like,
you've been in the
lot,
roots?
Big time. A lot of digging. Because I want to understand myself better. Like, I feel like I know myself pretty well, but there are things that have come up, especially in the last couple of years, where I'm like, I don't really like that behavior. Why am I doing this? And, you know, I really love being with my husband, because he really is very, like, he's able to see a lot of things about a lot of people that I don't always pick up, because I'm a people pleaser, and because I always want to believe the best about everybody. And I'm very quick to overlook something that might not be so great, just because I want them to like me, which is ridiculous, but that it's very there for me. So he'll bring things up, and we talk a lot. And I mean, I bring it up about him too. I think we're both not pick each other apart, but we're definitely very open with each other about who we are and what we're about. And one of the things he said to me is, like, he's like, you say yes to everything. He's like, if someone asks you, a family member, you know, you'll commit us to like 15 things, and we don't have time for all of it. And it makes you nuts. He's like, so are you really happy? Like, what is your reason for doing it? And we've gotten into some really good conversations. And when he said that to me, I didn't even know I did that. I didn't know that was a thing about me. And I thought, I do. I say yes to lots, and I overcommit myself. And it's because I don't want to upset anybody, and I don't want to be displeasing. Again, the people pleasing. And so I really started being very conscious of that. Like, is this something I actually want to do? And I heard this great thing of, if your immediate answer isn't hell yes, then you don't need to do it.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
And I just, I've started really looking at that and other behaviors that I have. Like,
so if your response isn't hell yes, then you probably shouldn't do it.
Yeah. And I don't anymore.
That's good.
So, you know, I really want
to
be here.
When I asked you to come on the podcast, did you say hell yes?
I did. Well, okay. I mean, I drove all the way from Snow Hill to be here. So
I know.
Obviously want to be here. But I, you know, that's the thing. It's things that bring you enjoyment.
So what do you do now different? So what are you going to do? Because listen, you can recognize it, you can see it, and then nothing about it.
Well, that's the thing, is the changing the behavior. So I do change it now. I'm very vocal about how I feel, which I didn't used to be. I used to hide it, or I would do this other thing where I would tell these, and they were little white lies. They seemed harmless, but they can hurt people, because you're saying something someone wants to hear just so you don't hurt their feelings. But in reality, it's not helpful. It's not beneficial. So I've been working on being very honest about how I feel about things. And if something bothers me, saying it, but not in a way where it's damaging to the other person, just bringing things up that need to get addressed in a constructive way.
I'm not sure that I think you're giving the other people more credit and not giving yourself enough credit, because listen, little white lies will undermine our foundation, undermine our character. You know, if someone told me a little, oh, I can't, I've got to go out to dinner, you're like, well, that's probably full of shit. Whatever, I get it. No big deal.
And I don't think anybody cares. And it is also this, like, thing of self-importance.
But we carry it because we're lying.
Well, that's why it had to stop.
It's undermining our foundation.
It's not okay. And all these things, I just never noticed that I did them. Because I did them for so long, you know?
I always say I have the benefit of being an alcoholic. People are like, oh, my God.
Oh, no.
What do you mean?
But I think that's a very real statement and a very true one.
I am so lucky because, I got sober, and I do use a program, and there are steps, those 12 famous steps, and people are like, oh, God. But the first step, we admitted we were powerless over whatever it is and that our lives have become unmanageable. Mm-hmm. And the last step, you know, doing all these steps, we're here for the next person. But the 10 in the middle are about life.
Oh, yeah.
And have nothing really to do with alcohol or drugs or food or money. And, you know, just because you don't do drugs and don't you and you're not drinking doesn't mean you don't spend too much money. Not you, but people.
Oh, no.
Don't spend too much money, eat too much food, you know, talk shit, lie, all these little things. Mm-hmm. But they don't get us put in jail, you know, like alcohol or drugs.
This all started for me years ago. I ended up in Al-Anon.
Right.
So
great program.
It is a great program. And it helped me. I mean, that was like the road to all my personal development stuff that I've done over the years. It started there. And it was a big deal for me to do it because I didn't think I needed it. And I went and I realized, oh, my God, I need this. And not just for the reason I was there, but for a multitude of reasons.
Damn right. It is such a freaking great program. Both those. And
there's
the 10th step talks about, you know, keeping our side of the street clean, cleaning it up on a daily basis, taking a daily inventory. Did I lie? Did I cheat? Did I, you know, was I amazing? Did I boast it? You know, whatever it is that when you lay in bed and can't fall asleep, it's usually something we did.
It is.
And, you know, that 10th step, and I'm not telling anybody to go do this. I'm just saying this is how it's been for me, and I was able to learn about it. But, you know, you clean that stuff up. You know, I reach out, hey, man, I apologize. I said that. They're like, I don't even remember. I know. Maybe you do, don't, but it just didn't sit well with me. I need to just clean it up, make my amends, and move on.
Mm-hmm.
Crow's best eaten warm.
It's, listen, and I think it's such an important life lesson, not even just for that, for sobriety or to deal with an alcoholic or an addict. It is just so important to deal with in your life. And so I am very much aware of like how I am, and it doesn't matter if it affects other people.
This is that album, right? This is that album. You know, these are our. We've got those first five tracks down, but it's those other seven. Like, do I clean up my side of the street? Do I make Do I apologize? Do I clean it up?
Oh,
I've just added a new hit to my album.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was that podcast I did earlier, and the podcast that we're talking about right now. Am I utilizing all that I am?
Yep.
Am I available to make amends? Am I available to say sorry?
Oh, yeah.
Am I available to say, listen, I don't like that person because they, you know, they're just assholes. When the reality is they're making me feel or look at parts of my life that I'm not really happy with.
Mm-hmm.
And that in turn makes me hate them. And so am I available to recognize that and say, listen, I really do like you. I'm just missing some stuff in my life. And it's made me not like you because of that.
Oh, yeah.
So there's new tracks that are available on this album, right? Adele doesn't need to put out a new album. No. There's still some hits that
we
haven't found.
You have lots to discover. There's lots there. And people, if you don't dig past it, you'll never see it. And I lived blind for a really long time to a lot of my behavior and a lot of the things that I do and other people do and things that other people did that triggered me. They say if you don't like somebody, it's usually because there's something going on with you.
They also say go sit next to them.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? It really opened my eyes to a lot of things. I can see a lot of, not just see the good qualities because I have rose-colored glasses now. I can look at someone that I maybe don't like so much or have issue with and say, there are so many good things about this person. Just because they might rub me the wrong way doesn't mean they're bad or whatever. They might not be my cup of tea still, but it doesn't mean that I don't that there's not value there.
And don't you think that's such a habit that we only look at the bad? Like, why is it that in love with this person? Or not in love, husband, but like, why do I like this person so much? Why? Mm-hmm. And a lot of times there's parts of this other person's life that you want, I was good friends with Matt, and he was he's my best friend, and I was such a great friend. But I look back and I go, he was very popular with the people. Mm-hmm. Did I want to be part of that friendship so that I could be part of that circle? I mean, if I'm being honest.
Oh, no, yeah.
If I'm making new tracks on this album, as much as I liked him, I also wanted to be recognized by more people.
Yep. You wanted to walk in the light, too.
I wanted to walk in the light. I wanted to be part of that circle. Mm-hmm. So, you have to look at the good and the bad. What role am I playing in this great relationship?
Mm-hmm.
Why do I put up with some things that I put up with this amazing relationship? What is it about me?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of that, I think. And I think it goes unchecked often. So if you can look at it and say, what am I getting out of this, or what do I hope to get out of this? Because I think at the end of the day, we all are on some level wanting to get something out of it. And friendships serve different purposes in our lives too. So, as much as maybe you did want to walk in the light or be there because he had those other friendships or people really liked him, it doesn't take away from you.
Well, and I think it's right there. The principle that we shall find no enduring strength. We'll never be strong enough. We'll never find the strength until we first admit complete defeat.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's, not in life, but maybe just that subject, that topic. And I don't think people realize is that until they admit complete defeat, maybe I'm not going to be a great runner or a great weightlifter or whatever it is. Until I give up, I'm cool with where I'm at. Can we start to grow? And there's a lot of people that undermines their life. And they're like, ugh, I don't know what's the matter.
Yeah.
It's that honest look at the things that are going on in our lives.
Yeah, it's handing it over.
Well, and this COVID, to me, this whole pandemic thing is really, to me, exposed. A lot of folks they're just not happy. Whether they're not, they're in the jobs they don't like. If you're in a job you don't like and you're surrounded by 50 people that are making an effort to look pretty amazing, you always feel like you're falling short. You're like, God, how come I can't be like that guy? Or, geez, how come? When I think we're all not really that happy.
Oh, I agree.
So it's exposed a lot of that. I think it's time for, at least for me, for other people to really take a look and say, listen, I don't like this, and I need a new track on this album.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to start living up to my potential. I want to try asparagus. I want to try sushi. I want to try lobster. I don't know what it is that we've been avoiding all our life, but I know, like, when I got sober, I just started trying everything. Dancing, dressing up, eating different foods. I'm like, oh my God, I wasn't doing any of this.
Well, also, I mean, there was something there blocking it, right? And for us, I said this.
Fear,
for sure. And I think too, before the pandemic, I said this to my husband. I was praying for time with my daughter and time with my husband. We weren't getting any, like not at all. We were so busy and there was so much happening and so much going on and we were constantly running. And when it hit, I felt like, I was already working from home, so it didn't rock my world. I was already working and not doing coaching.
Too much.
Yeah, I code from home. So it was kind of like, okay, like this didn't really change anything for me. I wasn't out of the house too much anyway. I was running back and forth to school and whatever. And if we were traveling, which was a lot, that was happening. But I wasn't doing a lot of outside stuff. So, that didn't change for me. But what did change for me was I got my daughter home with me, which I just was like, oh, I just need that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I got her home with me, and that did rock my world, because even though I prayed for it, it was crazy. It was nuts to like have her there, know that she wasn't getting that interaction in school anymore, and that I was having to compensate for it and proctor her class. I mean, she was 4 at the time, or she was just 5, just turned 5. And they were making them do pre-K online, and I was like, what is this? Like, this is horrible. And I remember thinking, like, this really brought about stopping people in their tracks and stopping them from being so busy and starting to focus on what mattered. And what mattered to me was I didn't care about whether or not she has the best education ever. She was 5 and in pre-K. I wasn't concerned about that. I was happy that I was getting time with my kid and I was getting time with my husband because he was home for the first 2 months of it. And I was like getting to see them And I think too, on the flip side of that, brought to light a lot of people maybe don't like their relationships. Mm. Like you said, don't like their jobs, don't like these things. And then you're forced to sit in it and you really have to sit with that. Like I realized I'm very proud of my job. And when I was here last time, you said something to me about me bad mouthing my job and downplaying it. I'm very proud of my degree and my job, but I don't love my job.
No.
And it did bring that about. Like, even though I was working from home and it didn't change things for me, it did make me recognize I don't really love what I'm doing. I'm good at it. I'm not sure
anytime you get money for something, you love it.
I don't know if that's true. I think it's all a matter of perspective and us also recognizing maybe you're good at something else and maybe there is a way to monetize it, but not where, like, it makes you unhappy. You don't have to shift it.
I feel like that's what, you know, this. I love podcasting. I love doing this podcast. I love it. We make no money. But now we're 2 years into it and people are starting to want to buy advertising. People are starting to want to sponsor stuff. People are starting to, you know, money's starting to show up. And all of a sudden now it's becoming a little challenging. And now.
But do you like it any less?
No, I like doing it. It's just that the whole, you know, now I have to think about other things and asking for money and is it enough money? Is it too much money? It just takes the piss right out of it.
It changes it. Yeah.
It changes it.
I get that.
I mean, I have I own my own business. I love being a hairdresser. I mean, I'm like, if I can't find happiness in this job, I should just retire.
But
I should just retire for good.
But I think you are happy doing that, right? Like, absolutely. You like doing hair. So I think that's what it is too, is finding something that you like that maybe, and not everybody's that lucky. You know, no. I know why I took my job. I know I'm very clear about that. That was truly so that I could make stability happen in my life because it was not there before.
Remind everybody what you do that you love so much, your job.
Mm-hmm. I am a medical records coder.
All right.
So yeah, I basically code charts to make sure that the hospital gets paid for the services they're providing.
Oh, that's very important.
It is important. And listen.
And you get to do that from home.
Yeah. I'm very lucky. I fought hard to get to work from home because not everybody does.
Right.
It's a misconception about that career field. A lot of people, I get messages all the time from women asking me, oh, you can work from home? And it took me fighting for my degree and getting certifications and then working in the hospital for 2.5 years and like interviewing for 1.5 years to get a job working from home. And I had to fight for it. I had to prove that I was capable of doing it. It's really hard to do from home, too.
Is it? Mm-hmm. Is it distracting?
No, I actually do really well with the focus thing, except when your kid's home. That's a whole other challenge to it. But it's more distracting working in a hospital, but it's better in terms of having people there to bounce stuff off of because it's a lot of questions that you have through the course of it. It's deciphering a doctor's chart and right. figuring out where the focus of care was, so...
Well, I will say that, and I like that, you know, it's funny that, you know, you want to be with your husband and you want to be with your child. I mean, I love that idea, but I need the break sometimes. I need to go to my job and like, I love you, but I got to go. Bye-bye.
Well, so that's the other flip side of it. Like I was grateful for the time, but it was also like I said to my husband I think he went back to work after 2 months and she was with me all summer and she wasn't in school. And I had to juggle work and juggle entertaining my child, which normally I wouldn't have to do because she would have been in daycare. Because right. daycare existed for me in the summer. I had a great program for her. And we lost it because of COVID. So I couldn't send her. And I was like ready to rip my hair out. And I love my kid. But man, I just was like, I need
a break.
Yeah. And there was no break. There's no break.
Well, we came out of when the kids finally went back to school, I didn't realize it, but I was definitely... I'm not sure I would use the word depressed, but I was affected because the kids had been with me since March.
Yeah.
And owning your own business, owning my own business, what does that mean? Kids get to come with me to school. I mean, kids get to come with me to work.
Yeah.
And so I've got daddy daycare at the salon, and it was just... So when they finally went back to school, I was like... I mean, I really literally exhaled. I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, I can just go home and... on the couch or something. I don't know. I had all this free time.
I know.
So it was, yeah, it's been crazy. I hope we can finally start getting back to some sort of normalcy.
I know.
Because it is exhausting, this whole thing.
It is exhausting and it's hard for everybody and on every level, no matter how you feel about it. I think it's just such a struggle. And I worry that it affects our kids more like, I'm an adult, you know, I can adapt to whatever's thrown at me. I may not love it. It might be uncomfortable. It may suck. I might get depressed, but I'll deal. But I feel like just thinking about my own childhood and looking at my daughters now and all the kids, it like, it breaks my heart for them. Like, this is, I hate this new normal.
I agree.
Because I just think it's miserable. It's a miserable way for them to be. And I hate seeing a kid in a mask. It makes me so sad. But as I, you know, I feel like this too, I'd rather err on the side of caution, you know?
Well, I think as you get a little older, you're going to start realizing that you need to, I learned that I needed to stop putting what my memories and thoughts on my kids' world.
Well, yeah.
I'm not saying you're doing that. I'm just saying
I
do that. And
it's a very different world.
I'm like, I hate those masks. And then my son walks around the house with his mask on. I'm like, David, take your mask off. He goes, oh, sorry, I forgot. Like,
oh, they're so unaffected.
Yeah, they're not bothered. But I'm like, oh my God, I couldn't imagine being in eighth grade with a mask. And I take my old memories and I put it on today's.
We're really good at projecting.
Yeah,
aren't we
project it. And then there are all these different things that come at us that can really, you know, it's that I use the word foundation. I mean, it's like, how do you, like, what are some of the things that you might do or use in your life to remind yourself that this isn't my world right now? This is a different world, you know, because people say, oh, it's funny. And you missed this one, but like when my son David was born, there was no iPad. They didn't have the iPad out. And then, so David's not an iPad guy. Doesn't care about the iPad.
Mm-hmm.
Sam, though, was born with the iPad.
Mm-hmm.
And he carries that. He's like a maitre d'. He walks around with this iPad. Same with Teresa.
Oh,
I'm sure your kids do it, too. They run around with their iPads. Uh-huh. And I think, oh my God, this life with this iPad is going to be terrible. But it's always something, right?
Well, I mean, we all evolve, first of all. And this was a really big wake up call I got, because I was so bothered by, like, she just went back to school last week, was her first day, last Monday. It was delayed for us. And I was so anxious about her going. And the mask wearing all day and all of it. I mean, she's 5. So in my mind, I'm like, I never had to deal with the same thing, projecting my childhood onto her.
Mm.
And, you know,
give you anxiety?
Oh, yeah.
So it's affecting you.
Oh, it's affecting me. I mean, my anxiety has been through the roof. Like, that's the other part of my working out, is to control that, because it's the only thing that really helps me without going on medication, which I'm trying to avoid. You know, I'd like to do things naturally. I'm not opposed to it.
I'll keep you off medication. I'll whip you right into shape.
I know, man. I will not, as long as I can help it, I won't go that route. You know, that's not where I live. You know, that's not what I want for myself. But I really was getting anxious. And my husband's like, I think you're making more out of this. Like, she's going to be fine. Like, I don't think she's going to hate this. You know, I think it's going to be fine. And I was like, well, I just don't feel right about it. So we dropped her off the morning. It was pouring. It was a cluster. Like, everything that could go wrong did. And I got home and cried. And my husband's like, it is okay. He's like, I swear, you're going to pick her up, and we are probably going to be these basket cases all day, and she's going to come home fine. He's like, just watch. And he always, you know, I mean, it's not always right, but he was right in this
scenario.
He's
that voice for you.
He is that voice for me. And he's just like, you need to chill out. And I was like, you know, you're right. I'm going to chill. So I pick her up. She gets in the car. Mom, I had the best day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I sat in the car and I smiled and I thought, you just need to stop. Like, this is not your life. She is fine. And she does not care. She likes the mask. She thinks, you know, she picks out the cute ones, like, to match her.
So do you make an effort to really focus? Like, you know, I know people that'll put like a rubber band around their arm, put little sticky notes, you know, just something they see and they go, oh, right, stay in the moment. Oh, right, stay, you know, stay out of the future, stay out of the past, stop projecting. Have you practiced or tried anything like that?
I do a lot of stuff. I meditate to try to be more mindful of it and to be more aware of when I'm getting there, because I really can do it quick. I do breathing exercises. I've got lots of, like, I'm a post-it girl. I've got lots of post-its on my computer at home and just around that say different things to try to pull me out of it. And honestly, my biggest one is just, it's stopping and having gratitude. That's been the biggest one for me. And I know it sounds...
Attitude of gratitude?
It is. I just really do stop myself and say, what is it that's making you anxious? And remember, this is okay. It's a moment and you have all these other things that are going right. So just stop. And then this was a big one. And I repeat this to myself all the time. Things happen for you, not to you. So I used to be a victim of everything that always happened to me. This is the worst thing, or this relationship went bad, or, you know, oh, this job, I didn't get this job I wanted.
A lot of self stuff. A
lot of self. And now I look at life a lot differently, especially since having a child, but I look at it a lot differently. And I think that all these things, they all happened for me, because even though I couldn't see it in the moment when, you, and it's always a lot of like looking back at your life, all of it happened for me. And so now moving forward, and especially over the last 2 years of my life, I really do look at like the ways that things have happened for me and continue to. So when something doesn't work out, that's what I remind myself is, this is happening for you. And it stops me in my tracks and it helps me to, with the anxiety.
Well, there's a word that I like to use, and the word is rightly.
And, I like that.
You know, there, and I was, you mentioned that you prayed for something. I forget what you said, but you said,
yeah, for time with my family.
Prayed for time with your family. And that was, that would be a typical prayer in the past for me, because it was always about me. What can I get? That was my relationship with like a higher power, God, whatever, you know. We don't want everyone to freak out over religion and stuff, but you know, it was like Santa and Jesus and God. They were kind of all, God, I want this. Jesus, I want that. Santa, I want this. And what I found is that I didn't really get a lot of those things. None of them came true. Maybe from Santa, but you know, I knew what the real story was with that. But the other two, they didn't really show up. Like if I said, you know, dear God, please get me out of this problem because I didn't do my homework. Because that would usually be a typical prayer, those foxhole prayers. Please, I'll never do it again.
Yeah.
And didn't happen a lot. So what I found is I didn't really appreciate that relationship, or really didn't turn much to it because it didn't work out.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have that relationship with it. And like I said, and this isn't to get into that too much because, you know, we don't want to upset people, but I'm not super religious, but I do pray a lot. And I'm not like a crazy God person either. But I have this like incredible faith, and I've had it since I was young. Always questioned religion. Like,
why can't we be a crazy God person?
Well, I mean, I just look at it like this. Like, I'm not going to preach to somebody about it. That's not who I am. My faith is personal to me, right? That's what I mean about that. I'm not like going to be sitting there Bible thumping telling someone. But this is how it's helped me in my life. When I was younger, I think there was a lot of self prayers and a lot of the foxhole prayers. Get me out of this. I'll never do it again. Or, oh my gosh, you know, make this stop. I promise, I swear I'll never put myself in this situation ever. That's not what, those are not the thing. If you could hear it, I'd never pray for me. And I caught myself the other day. I was like, I don't ever ask for him to watch over me anymore. It hasn't happened in years. I ask for him to watch over my daughter, my husband, my family, all the people that matter to me, even people that don't, like in terms of just life stuff, people I'll meet and I'll hear a sad story that they'll tell me, or I'll even see something sad and it's for someone else. I don't do it. It's not so self anymore. And it used to be for years with me. It was everything, you know, and not even just my relationship with my faith. It's, you know, my life in general. It was very selfish.
Well, and that's kind of, you know, that's why I talk about the word rightly. You know, when I first, you know, and I use sobriety because my life changed in such a big way when I got sober, and I really, my eyes opened. But I always share the story about like when I first got sober, I'm like, I'm so good now because I'm sober, right? So when I take the shopping cart, I'm not only going to put it in the little shopping cart holder area, but I'm going to take it back to the front of the store because I'm just at another level.
Yeah.
I'm at a new level of amazing. So I'm going to take this all the way back. And I'm like, but the whole time I'm like trying to see if anybody's noticing how awesome
I am. So are you the guy that's helping the homeless person taking a picture and putting it on social media? Say, I did this. I donated.
I don't do that. But the point is that
you're looking to see who's paying attention. Yeah,
I want to be recognized for my amazing. Am I doing this rightly? Is this about saving someone the work, or is this about the opportunity for me to be amazing? And when I pray, I never ask for anything anymore. I always say the attempt is more important than the outcome.
Well, that's the thing.
The humility to recognize, that's back to that term, that ultimate surrender. Can I surrender? It's like, the prayer that my kids and I use, because we struggle with anxiety, and my son Sam does, is, "Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you. Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you." That simple thing. I'm not the most important person. I can't take it all, and I'm just turning it
over.
It's
relinquishing the control.
It will cut that anxiety in half immediately.
It does. And that's, I mean, to go really deep about it, that is the biggest thing that I think about is, you know, I'm not in control. And I know that more now than ever, that I am in control of none of it. And when I say that 100 times over, when I say I'm not in control, I'm giving this over, it doesn't always work out the exact way that I want, but it definitely, the outcome is much greater than if I'm asking for something and think I have control over the outcome.
Because isn't this the principle that we shall find no enduring strength?
Yeah.
Until we first admit complete defeat.
Well, that's the thing. It's giving the control over.
Surrender.
We all think we're in control of everything. And I just realize more and more, and it has proven to me time and time again, that we are just not.
No, we're not. We are not in control.
And I'm very comfortable with not being in control, because I tried for years to control everything. And it just never went the way I wanted it to.
And I think we need to be careful what we wish for.
Well, that too.
You know, I think we're seeing a lot of that. You know, I think as a child, my mom used to say, "You know, Tommy, you need to go out and make big bucks." Like, that's happiness, Tommy. Big bucks. And I felt like I was kind of programmed that way. So anything falls short of big bucks is not happiness, right? And you know, I want to be a millionaire, and I want to be this, and I want to be the most popular and the most likes. And you're seeing these people, and there's a term. Let's see if I can say it right. It's better to have not walked with the Lord than to have walked with the Lord and then walk away. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of that. And what would be like the ultimate Lord, a millionaire, you know, or the most popular, the most likes, and then to lose it. And to have nothing afterwards. I'd rather never have experienced it.
So I've got a question for you, because I thought this was a really interesting conversation I heard the other day. And I feel like you would like this. The conversation was, how do you feel when you're working for something and you finally achieve it? Are you so satisfied with that you achieved it? Or do you feel like, okay, I got this thing and now I'm kind of let down because it didn't feel as good as I thought it would, or I didn't get the thing I thought I was going to get out of achieving it? Like, you reached your goal, but it didn't feel as good to you.
That's kind of a funny topic, because I love working towards something because it's safe, right? I'm working at it.
Mm-hmm.
How's it coming along? We're putting it together. It's going to be great. Okay. Working at it. Oh, shit. Now it's done.
Mm-hmm.
Now I got to put it out there. Now this is where the rubber hits the road. Is it going to be liked, or will somebody use it? That's where I get, you know, I'm safe working on something because there's no expectations from
But
anybody.
How do you feel once it's achieved, though? Scared. And you're getting the pats on the back. You get scared?
I'm scared. Because I don't want to. It's just like, so, you know, I built a social media app. I was going to I wanted to build another Facebook.
Okay.
So I hired a team and we went to work. And it was safe. Like, yeah, we're working on it. You know, it's no big deal. You know, it doesn't really matter right now if anybody's going to like it, because it's in the process.
Okay.
But when it was done, then all of the anxiety and fear of, like, you know, why are you rebuilding a social media site? Facebook's pretty good. You know, why? So, and
is it though?
No, it's not. And actually, I think my social media site was even better. I really liked it. It utilized local, putting local back into social. But whatever. It's the nuances, right? The fun parts of it.
But so you enjoy the process more.
I enjoy the process.
Well, that's what they were saying, was like, our reward systems most of us are not set up to achieve the goal, and that we actually get a bigger hit of dopamine going after it and trying to, and, you know, working toward the thing that we want.
Well, usually I'm good at rolling up my sleeves. I've been able to be that guy.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been able to be the guy that sits at the top and enjoys the success, because I don't you know, my buddy Carlos and I, you know, we do things. He's a business partner of mine in some of these projects, in another project. And I said, listen, I want you to be my partner, because I don't know how to finish it.
Mm-hmm.
I can finish the labor, but I don't know how to put a bow on it.
Yeah.
And I struggle with that part. I don't know how to be, you know, the top guy.
Yeah.
I'm a worker.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I've learned that, and I have to try to incorporate some new things into my life so that I so I can stop being the guy that knows how to do all the work but doesn't know how to have or figure out how to have any success with it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a, I don't know, you know, it's always, you know, I've never been great at success. It's tough.
Does it feel weird if people pat you on the back for it? Do you take compliments well or no?
If I put a lot of work into it.
So you can feel proud of it.
Absolutely.
Which is great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely am. I more like the pursuit of it. I find that when I get the thing, it's almost like working up to a wedding. You know, you plan the wedding, you get all excited. It's so fun, like the working up to process. For some people, it also is stressful. But they say there's like a depression that happens after the wedding happens. Like, you're so let down because there's, what else is there to look forward to?
There's bills.
Well, that's the thing. There's bills. There's all these other things. So it's almost like some people can't really fully enjoy the experience of it because there's always the after and the deflated and depressed state. And like, that's something that I've recognized is I feel like I always want to be working on something and working towards something and not necessarily achieving it.
Well, and I think it's really important to recognize what you think you're trying. Like, I think you, when every time we do something, we want to hit it out of the park and be like, you know, make a ton of money and retire early and, you know, travel the world. Does. I mean, that's always our goal. It's hard to reach that.
It is hard to reach that.
It's definitely hard to reach that. I know that this podcast network that I started, the socialpodcastnetwork.com, started off with me and my wife doing a podcast in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I just want to try it. Can we just sit down and try it?
And now look what you're doing.
And now we've built a great network, but, you know, it's also about watching great people do great things.
Yeah.
And I think that sometimes I'll do something and it evolves into something that I wasn't expecting.
Yeah.
And that's also cool.
Well, now you're helping all these other people get their voices heard and put their stuff out there and be creatives. And I think it's really cool. Yeah.
Having a lot of fun. Maybe you'll be our next. We need a 10. Maybe. Be 10.
You never know. I might surprise you.
Couple minutes. You watch anything great on TV?
Actually, yeah. Schitt's Creek is like, everyone loves that. But Filthy Rich. Have you seen that?
Uh-uh.
Oh my God. It's great.
So is those on Netflix?
It's on TV. I think it's on Fox, and I never watch Fox, and I was on vacation, and they didn't get many stations where we were in North Carolina. Rich. It's called Filthy Rich,
okay.
And it is about one of those, like, kind of Tammy Faye Baker type deals where they have, like, the big gospel show, and everybody tunes in, they're getting money, and there's all this, like, crazy drama in the background, and there was an affair, and there's three children that are illegitimate, and it's great. It's so okay. good.
Filthy Rich, it's on
TV. Just like a really guilty pleasure, just something fun to watch that like kind of takes you out of all the crap that's going on.
Schitt's Creek is Netflix.
Well, it was Pop originally, and then Netflix got it, and now it's on Comedy Central too.
I watched some of it. It was good.
How much did you watch?
I don't know. Two or three.
You gotta watch it.
I'll try again.
My husband won't watch it either. He watched like one episode and he's like, oh, I can't. And my father-in-law is the same way, but oh my God.
I have a thing where I just can't stand people like that. Even though the fictional, I get tired of funny? The theme of it.
You know what's funny? I thought that when I started watching it and the first three episodes, I thought, oh, this is going to be about these like hoity-toity. It is the most heartwarming, like touching. So many twists that it'll shock you. All and right. I love it.
I'll watch it.
I think it's really good.
I just watched Thinking of Ending Things.
Okay,
Tiffany
what's
sent
that?
Me a text. She's like, can you watch this so we can maybe do a podcast? It was crazy movie on Netflix. It's called Thinking of Ending Things. And I can't even explain it. It was so weird. But this guy basically goes on a road trip with his girlfriend to meet his parents at the farmhouse. And then they're driving in the snow. It is weird. I can't even tell you what it was about. I've had to watch it for Tiffany because she wanted me to watch it, so I did. I don't recommend it.
You don't recommend it?
I don't. I would recommend it just to maybe you can understand it and call me and explain it, but
I'll watch it. I listen to it. Well, I can't really watch it, but I listen to a lot of stuff while I work, so I'll put it on.
Thinking of Ending Things.
I love documentaries. I love like all sorts of stuff like that.
Well, we just watched my wife and I, we watched West Wing. Do you ever watch that?
I didn't. I never got into that, and I have never watched it, but.
Best show ever.
Everyone says that. I feel it's like I
Netflix.
Should watch it. I need bingeable things.
That's your homework.
Oh, and I've watched Ozark. Have you seen any of that?
Yeah, I watched Ozark. I mean,
I've only seen
good.
A few episodes of it, but
we didn't. I mean, we lost her. It's good, but you know, I get it.
Yeah,
I've lost. It's a little stressful, and my wife doesn't like a lot of stressful stuff. Yeah. So Ozark
don't
is stressful.
Don't be anxious while you're watching TV.
We started watching Narco. No, Pablo. One of those two. That was stressful too. We stopped watching that. That's why we just watched West Wing, because it's just about happy government stuff. It's just easy to handle.
If I've ever heard anybody describe happy government.
Well, it's fun to watch because it's kind of what the presidency used to be like.
Yeah.
You know, and the chaos that we have that's going on right now.
Yeah.
So we enjoy watching that and just kind of...
Everyone loves West Wing. Like, my parents used to watch it. I don't know why. I think just because it was out when I was in my 20s and my partying days. I was never home.
On Wednesday, they did... they brought back the cast of The West Wing. So it was C.J. Craig, Josh, basically all the main characters, except for Leo, who passed away during the last season. He died, yeah. Leo McGarry.
Mm-hmm.
And it was played by this other guy. But Hartsfield Landing was an episode where the president comes back and he brings back all these chess sets and gives them out to all of the staff. And they recreated the episode live on stage.
Oh, how cool.
And it was very cool. But they mixed in a lot of voter stuff. You know, let's get out the vote.
Yeah.
They're like, do you like school? Do you like driving cars? Do you like your house? Then you like politics. I mean, it's just a real explanation of, because people will say, oh, I don't like politics. Well, you like driving, right? Because there's a lot of politics that go into driving.
Oh, yeah.
And roads. So, and we're not going to make this about politics, but it was an interesting episode. So
cool.
We enjoyed that. Well, listen, Amanda Johnson, the balanced brunette. Is that right?
Yes.
Balanced brunette.
The balanced brunette.
The balanced brunette.
Trying to find it.
I appreciate you coming on and hanging out with me. And
hey, thanks for having me.
You're welcome. And I'll have you back. I love chatting with you.
Well, I will come anytime.
See what new tricks that you can make for your record of life.
Got some stuff in the works. So
open up your mind, and next time we'll talk about that and see. You know, maybe that's something that you can talk about on your platforms. You know,
yeah.
What new tracks on your album haven't quite been a hit that we might have missed? And
yeah,
I think it's great. You know, it's easy when you look at our kids because they only like a few things: ketchup, French fries, chicken sticks. I don't know, whatever, you know, but they're so limited.
Oh, very. Yes.
And as we grow and as we become older, we can add new tracks and new things. And, we're never too old, right?
That's what makes life good.
That's right.
Evolving.
Well, that's surrender. I'm glad that we read that. And
I know. I liked it. It was good talk today.
Good chat. All right. Listen, have a great day.
You too.
And we'll talk soon.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.